Father, we worship you. Thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, when you are in your temple, all the earth is silent. We worship you. We're still in your presence. We turn over this session of ministry of the word unto you. And we look to you for fresh mercy, Father. Mercy and unction upon me, upon my heart and upon my lips, and upon the ears and the hearts of my mother and all of my brethren, that Father, you will anoint me afresh, so that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water. Lord, let it bring life. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring hope and inspiration. Let it, Lord, come in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an eternal work that will cause our wills, including my own, to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the revelation light of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, that we will not be the same, but you will change us to a higher level of glory in the name of Jesus. Father, I duck under the covering of my fathers, Lord, and I come to declare that as your word goes forth everywhere, it goes throughout the earth under their covering. Let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be open. Let deaf ears be unstopped. And let strength come to our ankle bones, helping us to be doers of the things that we hear, that we will not be hearers only in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you for mercy. Lord, to help me, Lord, to be concise. Help me to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, Lord, but Lord, to speak only as you direct, seeking the honor that comes from you alone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you make me, in this time of ministration of your word, a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things both new and old, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Lifted up. God wants to lift us up above circumstances, above situations. That is his will. But there is a way he wants to do it. Thank you for keep playing that. And he's given me this, put this word in my heart to share with you. And I trust that God will help us this afternoon. You'll be blessed in Jesus' name. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 4. Verses 8 to 10. James 4. Let's read it together, if you please. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. This is how God wants to lift us up. But it starts by telling us that the initiative is ours to draw nigh to God. It is time for us to take the initiative to draw nigh and stop waiting for God to he's come as close as he's going to us. Is now us that need to get up and draw nigh to him. And when you draw nigh to him, it begins as a decision. So there's repentance. To really draw nigh to God, you have to repent. This is different from the repentance of, you know, not of doing something wrong where you say, I confess my sin and I repent. That's part of it. But it's now wanting to be more like God in the way you think, in the way you do, in your his will becomes your will. His thoughts become your thoughts. You feel what he feels. That's why he started with draw nigh, which is a decision. And then God begins to draw nigh to you. And when God draws nigh to you, you begin to see the imperfections. in yourself and you begin to correct them. Bible says, cleanse your hands, talking about our actions. It says, purify your hearts, talking about the double-minded. One minute your heart is speaking from God, the next minute is speaking from the flesh. It ought not to be so. God wants it to speak only from Him. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. When you are in God's presence, your laughter, the things that used to make that seem funny to you, Bible says, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. When you're not walking in the light, some foolish things appeal to you. But when you come into God's presence, it becomes foolishness. It becomes mourning. And he says, humble yourselves in this way in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. God wants to lift us up. So we see three things there. We see repentance, which begins with your will, drawing to do what is right or to do the word of God. Then we see forsaking, which is turning away in your mind and in your emotions. It's not enough. God wants the entire soul, will, mind, and emotions. And that produces obedience with submission. Because that's what God wants. God doesn't want obedience that is feigned. There's an obedience that is feigned. You know, where you can do the action, you know, but in the heart, your heart is far from Him. But it always will show and makes us double-minded. So God wants obedience that comes from a heart of submission to practice His will. Let's look at Matthew 21 to see a little story here that buttresses this point. Verse 28. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But what think ye? A certain man, let's see that. Say, a certain man had two sons, and he said to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Next verse. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he what? Repented and went. Next verse. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and he said, I go, sir, and went not. And then he now asked the question in verse 31. Whether of them two, or which of the two of them, did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. See, it's not necessary what you say with your will alone. It begins with the will. But if it doesn't transcend to the mind and the emotions, you will say, you will make the confession, but you still won't do it. I've been there. You will say, you know, in this church, we're so well taught. We say, but check, how much of it are we doing? This is where it's at. Obedience comes from a heart that is submitted. That heart is not fully submitted. Because the heart that is fully submitted will produce obedience. And God is looking all over for hearts that are perfect towards Him. That are submitted to do what He wants them to do. And this is what the John the Baptist ministry came to do on the earth. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To prepare our hearts. So that our hearts can be prepared. So when Jesus came with the same gospel, but this time with power to do it, then automatically you just, the plan was that He would make disciples of men whose hearts were already prepared. There's a preparation. Unfortunately, John the Baptist, who himself spoke of the message and preached it, is a big lesson. It means that any one of us can be a castaway if we don't take heed to ourselves and take it to our hearts. He preached it. He said it. He baptized with it. And yet he didn't walk in it. So it means that obedience is not automatic. The Bible says of John the Baptist in Luke 7:28, of those that are among men, there is none greater, the herald of the Christ. He spoke of the Christ, yet he didn't follow the Christ. But it says, least in the kingdom is greater than he. That means John the Baptist didn't enter the kingdom. That means that the least person in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. It means that the least doer is greater than the greatest hearer and talker. the greatest talker, the least doer that enters, because only doers will enter the kingdom. The kingdom may have been the total dominion of the nature of God over your will, your mind, your emotions, and your body, where you are sold out to God. Amen. All right. So let's look at how God wants us to do. Look at Matthew 18, verse 1 to 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. At the same time, I can't hear you. At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest? Where? In the kingdom of heaven. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom among men and the kingdom of heaven. They're not the same. What Mommy was saying today to us is that it's important to keep your eyes on the kingdom of heaven so that you will not live in this earth alone and have a name among men, and then you are nothing in that other kingdom. Next verse. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Next verse. And he said, verily, you know, he only says that when it's going to be difficult for you and I to believe. Verily I say unto you, except ye become converted, which is born again, and become as, so it's not enough to be born again, to and become as what? Little children, trusting, submissive, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Being born again is not entering the kingdom. Being born again is being born again. You are connected to God. You now have a connection with God that allows you to see the kingdom, but is a different thing to enter the kingdom. Next verse. Whosoever therefore shall what? Humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know what this tells me? It tells me that greatness in the kingdom is available on earth. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to be great in the kingdom of heaven. You can be great in the kingdom of heaven while we're here on earth. And entering into the kingdom is true greatness. So if you want to be truly great, then you must enter into the kingdom. That's what Jesus died for. So a person who humbles themselves as a little child and obeys, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about obedience. Wholesome, total, complete obedience. The same that enters is the greatest in the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. We're talking about greatness in the kingdom. God wants us to be great. So whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and what? Teach. So you are teaching with your life, you know. Whether you are doing or you are not doing, you are teaching. By your example, you are teaching people to be disobedient or you are teaching people to be obedient. Your life is speaking. That's what it's saying. Your life is speaking. And Bible, God wants us to be a written epistle. Amen. Next. Okay, let's continue. Look at it. So whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The people that are obedient are the people that are great in the kingdom of heaven. The people that are disobedient are the people that are least in the kingdom of heaven. Obedience is the currency of the kingdom. It is the currency of the kingdom. The more you have, the greater you are. The less you have, the smaller you are. When you are obedient, you can control circumstances. You can dominate situations. You can intervene in men's affairs. But if you are not obedient, you are subject to circumstances. You are limited. The Bible says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. You can limit God by your lifestyle. Being said that you don't allow God to do all God wants to do. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Thank you. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. Say, you are our epistle. I can hear you, our epistle, written where? In our hearts, known and read of all men. Next verse. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. God wants men to read you and I. Amen. And He is writing the message by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, God is writing on your heart. So that in situations during the week, at the bus stop, at the working place, when you went to the amusement park, your life will be speaking. Your life will be speaking. And men will be reading it. The centurion read Jesus' life. And he said, you are a man under authority. You don't even have to come, sir. Just speak the word. So that, he didn't read a Bible, but faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word. So he read Jesus and he got faith. The question is, when people read you and I, do they get faith? How much faith do they get? Your life needs to be speaking. The words are not enough. Your heart must be speaking. Your thoughts must be speaking. Your action must be speaking. Whether you like it or not, it's speaking. As you do the things you do, it's speaking. It's speaking. And it's making an impact. And is this presence evangelism that God wants to restore? Of course, you will still talk. But how many people will you talk to? But when your life is speaking all the time, then there's a voice of the Holy Spirit. It's gone out throughout the whole earth, speaking through our actions. Amen. And you know, we thank God for our fathers, because by the grace of God, if you look at yourself, you can see that God is writing on your heart. You can see that, it's not the way I used to be before. But God is now saying, you need to do it. You need to hasten the time. He wants us to, because there is something that He's doing. And you know, as we walk in a life of absolute obedience, look at our fathers, for example, Pastor and Mommy, by the grace of God, to the glory of God. He used their life of absolute obedience to minister Christ into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that their lives speak clearly of obedience. You know, one thing I love about them the most is they share everything. Their joys, their travails, nothing is hidden. So you can read it. And it's a clear, distinct message. Be obedient and love God. The message is clear. You know, it's a message of going all the way with God. It's not divergent. It's clear. In every situation, it's very clear. You know, and you know, that's what God wants to do. He wants, as their life is speaking, your life and my life is speaking. And people are reading us. Amen. And as people are reading us, they also, their own life is. So it begins a chain reaction. So it's a spiritual chain reaction that begins to ignite and go. And before you know, obedience fills the whole earth. That is the will of God. The will of God is to make all the nations obedient. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Right. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Amen. So Jesus came in the flesh, and He came, you know, according to the seed of David. Now, this speaks of you and I, because we are of David. Amen. Because we are willing to do all of God's will. So we are also made of David in the flesh. You must have a David heart. Next verse. And declared to be who? The Son of God with what? Power. That's how you know sons. The kingdom of heaven is not in talk. It's in power. Like the testimony Mommy gave today. It's power. Power. I've seen it before. I mean, it's power. You know, when, you know, my daughter had choked. Can't forget. Can never forget. And they just gave the child to her. And in that, someone that was already blue still got to UCH before they got the doctors. The child was still alive. And I didn't know anything. So if we talk about power, there's power. Declare to be Son of God with, not with talk, according to the Spirit of holiness. That's the key. It's the holiness that attracts the power. The degree to which you cleanse your heart, be afflicted, you turn your laughter into mourning, that's holiness. where your thoughts sync with his thoughts, your emotions sync with his emotions, your will is synced with his will. That's holiness. Is that brings the power by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Next verse. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? Obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Obedience is the key. Even when we have the glory by the grace of God, the glory is to make the nations obedient to the kingdom and the gospel. Amen. Alright, so we see that's how Jesus did it. You know, he ascended up the throne of his father. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, 32-33. Jesus was a man, he also grew perfect and grew and entered into the kingdom. No, Luke chapter 1, verse 32. It's important to, yes. Talking about now, this is Jesus talking about. So he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So there is a dynasty of sons of David that are going to rule and reign, and Jesus was the first. Amen. Next verse. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is an eternal kingdom, and God is inviting you and I to be kings in this kingdom, to come under. So under the apostleship of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus ascended up that throne. Yeah, I mean, it was his by inheritance, but by his lifestyle and by his conquest over Satan in hell and by bestowal, he ascended up that actual throne. And the same way also, we are following in his steps to be able to also become kings. Of course, we are kings and priests positionally, but now by experience, through obedience, we are going to be made kings. Amen. All right, and that's what God is doing. So it's an eternal kingdom of great kings who will reign over Jacob's. Yes, because it shall reign over the house of Jacob. Jacob is someone who is willing, but his infirmities are disturbing him. So God will bring people who are Jacob's under your covering. Hello, sandpaper. And God will bring them under your covering. But under your covering, as you keep allowing love, which is obedience, it's the same thing, love, walking in love, obedience, as you allow it to begin to work in and through you, it begins to change that heart. That heart that is a stony heart, and you begin to write upon their hearts the same way your own heart was written upon by somebody else. You also now begin to write upon somebody else's heart by your words, by your actions. Amen. And then it becomes a dynasty of kings, and you cover the whole earth. That's the will of God. That's what God wants to do. No, Bible says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God knows you can be great. He's made us great, and he's determined to lift us up to be great. The question is, do you want to be great? Can you take up that challenge and press in and become great? Amen. Look at a demonstration of that greatness in Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Luke 8:18. Now let's read it. Say, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which is he meant to have. It's a very important principle. What do you do with the word that you hear? The word that you hear, the word of instruction, the word of God, the instruction of the fathers, what do you do with it? Even the things that you see of them, that God now talks to you about, what do you do with it? Because you know, everything is an instruction. Their life is speaking all the time. Whether you are eating together, whether it's a joke, whether it's you're watching a movie, you know, they are speaking all the time. The question is, what do you do with it? So you see, you must have a culture of receiving, of drinking. It must be your lifestyle. Because they're taking you somewhere, you know, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And you must be willing. You don't be stubborn as a mule. And then you turn and say, I want to go this way. No. So you're drinking. The question is, what do you do with it? It's a very important principle. Look at, give this to me in the Amplified. Amen. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. For to him who has spiritual knowledge will what? More be given. And from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even that which he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away. So what is God saying here? God is saying that knowledge you have and you are not doing, you don't really have it. You don't really have it. You are thinking that you have it. You are supposing that you have it. You are guessing that you have it because you know it in your head. But if you don't practice it, when the storms blow, when the flood comes, that word, you will forget it. That's the principle. Look at the same chapter, verse 22 to 25. Jesus spoke to the disciples and gave them this principle. And then they continued. Verse 22. And it came to pass on a certain day, so a few days afterward, okay, that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over onto the other side of the lake. What did he say? Let us do what? Let us go over to the other side of the lake. So he had given a word. Question is, take it how you listen. You just listen. Ah, oh, the sky is blue. Okay. All right. And they launched forth. Next verse. But as they sailed, he did what? Fell asleep. Sometimes you are in church and it looks as if God is asleep. You are there. God is not saying anything to you. The question is, what is the instruction he has told you before? That is what you need to be staying with. Keep your eyes on it. Follow it. Do it. Because there is something coming up, and if you do it, you'll be ready. Don't be waiting for a sign or waiting for some miracle or something. Just operate by faith. Faith, obey the word. But as they say, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Next verse. And they came to him and awoke him and saying, Master, Master, we what? That was their perspective. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Next verse. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Where did you put it? Is your faith invisible? Does it speak or is it hidden? Does it have a voice? Does it talk? Where was their voice? It means that what he did, they were supposed to have done. Because the master said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. We rebuke you in the name of our master. And there would have been the same calm. But because there wasn't a culture of obedience. How much do you hear? What percentage of what you hear are you doing? Because that percentage affects you. It affects me. It's so important. And you see there that even though they heard, they were subject to the situation, if not for Jesus. And you know, anytime you are walking in disobedience, or you're not walking in the level of, because obedience is in degrees. Everybody has a degree. The question is now, the level that you are you living in it? Or are you living below that level? This is what God is saying. Because the degree that you live, I know, declared to be Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, the degree to which you are obedient is the degree you can demonstrate. Mommy always gives this very beautiful analogy. It's very clear, very powerful. It says 2 over 2 is 100%. 3 over 5 is 60%. But 3 is more than 2. 3 is more than 2. But God looks at it relative to what he has asked you to do. My mom was saying, he will not judge you by somebody else's. If judged by sweeping the floor, he's not going to judge you by somebody else's. What measure has he given you? The one that he gave you, do. And do it diligently. Because when you do it, you are scoring 100% in the one he has asked you to do. And then he can only give you more. Remember what he said in Luke 18? It says, to him that hath, more shall be given. and God will enlarge. But everybody initially starts with the same measure. But after a while, if you are faithful little, then God begins to enlarge you. So the key here is that we should be obedient. As obedient, every little word, the one you hear in church, what is the instruction that you got from it that you have not been doing? That's what you're looking for. You're not just looking for to hear, yes, it comes to revelation, yes, that helps, amen, gives you more light. But the ultimate thing is the instruction. Everything God wants to do is the instruction. It's when you obey Jesus that you are changed. It is when, that's when you are lifted up. That's what God is, the word that takes you into your inheritance. It is the word. Bible says in Acts 20:32. You know, no. Let's look at Acts 20:32. Look at Acts 20:32. Quickly. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His, which is able to build you up and what? Give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. It's the word. The word is taking you somewhere. Now, before the word himself talks to you, he will send people to you. He will send spiritual fathers. He will send your parents. Hello. He will send your teachers. He will send your house mistress. He will send people to you. He can even send you a driver. The question is, what do you do with what they tell you? It's so important. Because until you are faithful in that which is another man's, he will not come and start talking to you direct. Oh yes, that's so true. Eli and Samuel. Or let me put it this way. The degree to which he will talk to you will be very limited. Even you're not doing the thing with that men who you can see have been telling you. From where will he now come to come and be talking to you direct? You'll probably treat him the same way you are treating them. Hello. Start listening to your parents. Not just some, of course, there's some things that they say that are contrary to the word. Now, in those cases, your attitude must still be right. And you can say, with the right attitude of meekness, because you must always honor your parents. Very important. You must always give honor to whom honor is due. You're not doing them a favor. It is commanded of you. So you must submit, but at the same time, with an attitude, right, mommy, you know I can. And if your way, your manner is that of submission, then you don't submit. They themselves will know that there's something here. But if it's everything you want to have your way, you want to have your way, every time you want to have your way, there's a spirit in the air that makes people rebellious. Ma? Yes, lawlessness. And it's already been revealed. Bible says, when men shall be boasters, rebellious, covenant breakers. And those are the things that make us happy. When people fall, you laugh at them. It's funny. You know, and you make fun, and you talk against authority and all that, and it looks funny, and you are having fun. It's because you are not in God's presence. Bible says, draw nigh to God. So God wants us to draw closer and draw closer and draw closer. Amen. And what He's doing is that He sends us this word through apostolic fathers. And that word, when it comes, is the smallest of the words, of the seeds of the word in our hearts. The word of success in this life, getting an education, going to a good university, doing a good course, you know, graduating with a good grade, you know, and this and that and having a family and having children and having resources, which are all legitimate and important. Those seeds are bigger in the field of our hearts than the seed of the kingdom of heaven. It's the smallest seed. And so, what we tend to do is we tend to ignore that seed. We ignore it. We leave all the, we give time to the other things. We develop all the other things, you know. And then we just expect it to sort of take care of itself automatically. No. God is saying that's not the way it's going to work. You must not reject any part of the words that you have been given. It's so important because your destiny and my destiny rests on it. Becoming who God wants us to be rests on it. You must allow that seed to grow. You know, and that seed, when it grows, it will give you back. of the investment of the time and the effort you have put into it. It's not for nothing. You know, it's not for nothing. It's going to actually pay. Look, so it's so important. Look at Revelation 22, verse 19. The word. If there's one thing I want to leave with you today, it's the word. The word you hear. Take heed to the word. If any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. If he says it takes out, like Pastor has told us so beautifully, it means it was already in there. Everybody, by deep God already set it, everybody has a part in the book of life. Everybody has a part in the holy city. Everybody has a part in the things that are written in the word of God. The question is, how much of it do you fulfill? Now, it's by taking heed to the word that you fulfill it. And the degree to which you don't take heed to the word, which is disobedience, is the degree to which you are allowing that part to be taken from you. It will not be taken from us in Jesus' name. But mommy has preached it and mommy has blessed us and said that's not our portion. Amen. Alright. So it's not our portion, but you must understand that there is a way. You must take heed to what you hear and walk in obedience to instruction from the heart. It's very important. Amen. And you know, as God Himself draws us to Himself, because God is one drawing. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44 to 45. John 6, 44 to 45. Says, no man can come to me except who? The Father which has sent him, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Next verse. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So God is the one that draws you and hands you over to Jesus. Amen. Draws us. Hands over to spiritual fathers by extension. Okay? Now, Jesus is the one that reveals the Father to you. Because ordinary on our own, we don't know the Father. It is the Son that reveals the Father to whomsoever He will. So, really, the Father's then reveal God to you. So, ideally, God wants to talk to you one-on-one. But you are far from Him. Far from Him. So what he does is looks for mature fathers and then brings you under their covering. Then through them, you know, through them now, he begins to open your eyes and show you his ways, show you his will, show you his timing. So you begin to repent. Repent means you stop doing your own will. You stop doing your own ways. Stop doing your own timing. And start following his own calendar. While you are doing whatever it is else that you are doing. This is the will of God. Unto a time when, Bible says in the book of Galatians, you know, the time appointed of the fathers, then he now hand you over directly. They will now be the ones that will hand you over directly. But you are not faithful in following them. How will you ever get to that end? Saul never got to the end. Yes, he reigned 40 years. But Saul was nowhere. He went to witches to get power from the devil. Saul missed it entirely. How come? So it's so important to understand that you need people to take you by the hand and hand you over to your destiny. You will never get there by yourself. God has locked it. Locked. No rebels. You have somebody who will take you by the hand, even if it's physical. You will still take a teacher to explain it to you. Even Jesus was taken back. His mommy said, they have no wine. Thank God for a submissive heart. A heart that doesn't want to do his own will. Wants to do what God says. Even though he knows he's more spiritual than his mom. But she took him by the hand to hand him over to God direct. And then he started doing miracles. From that day, she didn't come and tell him again that do this. But if he had disobeyed her there, he would have locked himself out. So key. No hiding. It's not dominating you. It's helping you to enter into your destiny. is that your destiny. You have to see it properly and understand it. They help you to discern the will of the Father. Even Jesus didn't discern the will of the Father. You don't know, you know the word, but you don't know the will. If you know the will, you don't know the way. If you know the way, you don't know the timing. You must get everything right. It's a four combination lock: word, will, way, timing. That's why you need fathers and those in authority over you. The Bible talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, that it may be well with you. That's where you find favor with God. When you embrace, and if you look at those that did it, what did Jesus do? He went about the Father's business. Luke 2:49. I don't want to take too much time because I don't want to turn there. Okay, all right. So, and they also, if you look at Solomon, when God asked Solomon, "What do you want that I should do for you?" God, give me a new car. Lord, give me money that I can just travel on any airline, do anything, buy a house in Bahamas, you could have just spoken foolishly. What did he do? Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. It's a lesson. Brethren, we didn't drop from the sky. We dropped from God. And he has a plan. And the more you fit with the plan, the better it's going to be for you and I. Amen. Give it to me. 1 Kings 3. Quickly. 1 Kings. Verse 6. Solomon wasn't perfect. And Solomon said, this is after God asked him, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit upon his throne as it is this day." Next verse. "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." Next verse. "And thy servant is the midst of thy great people thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for multitude." Next verse. "Give therefore thy servant" what? "An understanding heart to judge thy people." We need an understanding heart to know the will of God, the mind of God. And to discern. "Note that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge the great that people?" In short, when he asked that thing, everything else he didn't ask for, God gave him. So don't shortchange yourself. I want my own. The prodigal son, did he not get his own? He got it and he blew it. It's about submitting. And be careful to respond. The way you respond to your fathers is very important, because God is doing something. Look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Next verse. "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come to and smite the earth with the curse." So God wants to bless the earth. But for him to be able to bless the earth, the hearts of the fathers must turn to the children, hearts of the children must turn to fathers. So, fathers, when I say fathers now, I mean those in authority, leaders at any level, parents, pastors. Remember that your role is God ordained, is God given. Therefore, you must consult God over your children. Don't just do the one that you think that they should do. It is your responsibility. You are not doing it for yourself. You are doing it. God gave them to you. So you must find out what is God's will and speak it, whether they like it or not. You must say it. It's very important. Because you don't owe it to them, you owe it to the Father. And children, submit. Amen. Now, why is this important? Like we said earlier on, I've already read Romans chapter 1. God is uniting generations to himself. It's an eternal plan laid out in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, you can go and read verses 4 to 10. But it's an eternal plan. God has had an eternal plan that his glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Alright, that's his plan. But, you know, he's given the earth to man. And man gave it to the devil. Then he came back and collected it again and gave it to man. So right now, man and the devil have an issue. And God wants to still use man to propagate that his eternal kingdom on the earth. That's what God is trying to do. It's very important that you understand that. That's why I said, for obedience to all nations. Okay? So really, by walking in submission to those in authority and obedience to instruction, you know, we get to sit upon God's throne. It says, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. God says that to Jesus, but he's going to say it to men. He's saying it to men in this day now, who will ascend up on that throne. It's very important that we understand that. So we can see, look at Ephesians 1 verse 10, just verse 9 and 10. So you can have a picture of what I'm saying. Verse 9 and 10. Give it to me in the NIV. And he has made known to us the mystery of his will. What's that will? Christ in us, the hope of glory, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in Christ. Next verse. What's that good pleasure? To put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring what? All things well. In heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. It's an eternal kingdom, both in heaven and on earth. That's what God is doing. So this plan hinges on obedience. No, and it's that obedience that now causes us to be filled with the Spirit without measure, and then we can dominate circumstances and situations. Number two, God has waited as the husbandman for the precious fruit of the earth, and now that fruit is about to come forth. Amen. Look at James chapter 5, verse 7. God is bringing forth now, as the husbandman, the precious fruit of the earth. Let's read it together. Say, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. What is the precious fruit of the earth? Sons, mature sons, coming forth. Amen. They and their children. Together, all right, and has long patient for it until he received the early and the latter rain. So God has given us the early rain. Now the early rain is the rain in Israel. The early rain was the rain that softened the ground. After the early rain, you planted. Okay, then the latter rain was the second rain that ripened the fruit of what was in the ground. So you need both. You need the rain to soften our hearts. That's where you turn, repentance, forsaking. You turn from your own desires. You turn from your own will. You turn from your... That's early rain. Okay? Then the latter rain, then when you've turned, then God sows the seed of the word of God. Then he now gives the latter rain of the Spirit. Amen? And that now makes you able to do the word of God. And now bring forth fruit for all men to see. And then he now says a good harvest. Amen? We must give God a good harvest in Jesus' name. Alright, so the early rain has come and the latter rain has come. So definitely, brethren, this is the time to bear fruit. Look at the next verse. To us now. Be ye also what? Patient. Establish your heart. Don't be going back and forth. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's what he's saying. So be consistent. Establish your heart in consistent obedience. Because the Lord is drawing nigh. Our redemption draw it nigh. Amen. And God is, so as we said, you know, God is doing that in the earth. And Jesus said something that really struck me. You know, if you look at Luke chapter 4, verse 24 to 27, he was talking to the Jews. Luke 4, 24 to 27. Yes, thank you. All right, it says, and he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. When he's saying no prophet is accepted, what is he saying? No prophet is accepted. Their word is not accepted. People don't take heed to the word that they tell them. Because they feel over familiarity. What is he saying? Isn't he son of this? Is he son of that? That's what he's saying. Next verse. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were where? In Israel. In the day of Elijah. When the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months. When great famine was throughout all the land. Next verse. But there was none of them was unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. God is not looking on the basis of what you have on the outside. The widow, the widow here doesn't have, she's defenseless, so to speak. You know, looking at this story, she is not a Jew. She is outside of Israel. But God's eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth to get people whose hearts are prepared. So really, what God is saying here is that it's a preparation of the heart through the rain. So the rain we are getting is preparing the heart. Is the Bible says, my doctrine shall distill as the rain. The early rain is the foundational principles. The latter rain is the perfection Christ principles of the Christ life. The epignosis of the Christ life. So you have to put the two together to be able to enter into the destiny, or be able to enter into your destiny through obedience. That's what he's really saying here. You know, next verse. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. So God went to get Naaman all the way. You got someone in Israel, but there was nobody with the heart. They thought they knew. So it's very important that we prepare our heart, because that's what God is using to determine who he can use. Prepare your heart through the word, amen, that we receive. All right. So it's a willingness to exercise repentance now, is what we're talking about. The willingness, because these people were not Jews. So, I mean, they didn't know, but they were willing, if they heard the truth, they were willing to turn. So there was a sincerity, you know, and there was the determination to do. And we know the story. When the woman, the widow of Zarephath, accepted the word of the prophet, what happened to her? In a time of famine, she was lifted up above the famine. Bible says the cruse of oil did not fail. It did not fail. This is the will of God. So what is God saying here? No matter what situation you find yourself, ask yourself, what is the word, Lord? What is the word? And latch onto the word and do it. It will lift you above that circumstance. It will lift you above that situation. Naaman was a great man. Bible says it in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. He was a great man and honorable. Yet, that but in his life was a big but. But God was able to change that but by the word of the prophet. And when he ignored the word of the prophet because he was very angry, his servant spoke to him. So the word of the people around you can, if you obey it, can lift you over. If it's in line with the word of the prophet, if it's in line with the word of God, it can take you over and put you above circumstances and above situations. God wants to lift us up. Amen. How do we do it? Number one, honor those in authority over you. It's very important. We must honor those in authority over you. Spiritual authority and natural authority. Look at Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that are people are seeking the Lord. So he's talking to us, all of us here. And he's saying this, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. In short, this is the way. This is the way I'm going to get you that you are seeking me to get to where I am. You need to look to those in authority that have said over you, Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you have been hewn, to the hole of the pit whence you have been digged. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, the two have become one, and blessed him and increased him. Next verse. And the Lord shall what? Comfort Zion. This is what he wants to do. But he will comfort all her ways. I say God will comfort you in Jesus' name. He will comfort all your waste places. He will make your wilderness like Eden. He will make your desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Next verse. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. What is God saying there? That as you follow them, as you look to them, that's the first thing. As you look to them, that attitude of looking will open up the valve of your heart. Then when I will now send you a law, will proceed from me through them to you. And it is that law that will make your wilderness like the Garden of Eden. That's what he's saying. So without spiritual authority, you know, you won't make spiritual progress. Because they're taking you up to Zion. You know, Lot couldn't go up because he was disconnected from Abraham. He said, go up to the mountain. Ah, we die. He couldn't go up because he wasn't connected to Abraham. Even though Abraham was praying for him, Abraham put him under covering. There's only so much you can get without you drawing nigh. That's why you have to draw nigh. Because the closer you are, the more you are in under that covering, you are in that presence. And then light begins to shine upon you. And then you yourself now become a light. So that's the will of God. Then natural authority is also very important. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 to 3. Ephesians 6. It's not one or the other, it's both. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise. Next verse. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So, physically speaking, and naturally speaking now, physically, you know, you cannot progress spiritually and physically without this attitude. It's true what they say. Attitude determines your altitude. If you want to go high, then submit to those in authority in your heart. Reverence is the word. You cultivate reverence. And as you cultivate that reverence, after a while, God will start talking to you. And start drawing you. And start manifesting himself to you. Amen. As you obey what you like. John 14:21. If you obey the commandment that you have been told, then you know. Let's look at it. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and that keepeth them, he it is that what? Loveth me. Or that is obeying me. And he that loveth me shall be what? Loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. God will not manifest to you until you are keeping the commandment sent to you through your fathers. Both spiritual and natural. It's very important. And a good example here is Samuel and Eli. In the midst of where Hophni and Phinehas were misbehaving, they were doing what they liked and Eli could not control them. Samuel chose to obey. It's a choice. He chose to submit. Ah, they did with the women. Sometimes he will see them, Eli will not see them. Because they were not afraid of him. They may not do it openly in front of Eli. But at least, in front of him, who is this Samuel? He's not even his family. So if he talks anyhow, we'll deal with him. You know, you must have seen one, but he just chose. The Bible says, and he grew. And Samuel grew. What was he doing? He was obeying Eli. The Eli they despised, he was obeying. The Eli they despised, he reverenced. The Eli they despised, he honored. So when God wanted to now, God now started talking to Samuel. Even Samuel didn't know it was God. He thought it was still Eli. See how it is. And Eli was backsliding. It took Eli to tell Samuel, it's God. Then God now started talking to Samuel direct. It's a pattern, brethren. It's a pattern. You never outgrow your fathers. You never. You will have many clothes, though, but you cannot have many rags. So it is important that you give them their place. Both natural and... I know even if they are uneducated, your natural parents are uneducated. No, the honor you get when you learn reverence and submission in the house of God, take it back to your family and apply it there so that they can know that you have changed. They can see that there's a change. Then your life is now beginning to speak. Amen. Number two, we must correct our priorities. The first thing is submission of heart. You must maintain that. But you can't do it without the power of God. Okay, really, because it takes the power to submit the heart. So you must correct your priorities. Obedience is number one priority. Matthew 23:23. Obedience is number one priority. Matthew 23:23. Thank you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the what? Weightier matters of the law. What are those matters? Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. This is how you draw nigh. You start looking inside. You judge yourself. Not condemn, but you self-examine. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So you can be a Christian and not be in the faith. Jesus Christ asked disciples, where is your faith? So it's possible to be in the faith and your faith is dormant or inactive. So he's saying here that judgment and mercy, as you exercise judgment on yourself, thank you, and exercise judgment on yourself and you check yourself. What are you doing? You are examining your heart. In the light of the word that God has sent to you, you examine your heart. That's judgment. That's what judgment is. You examine your heart in the light of that word. You confess your sins. You receive life through the blood. Hebrews 13:20-21. We don't have to turn there. No. But we come to God by the blood. So, Father, I confess my sins. My shortcomings, I confess them. I repent of them. I now receive life. Okay? And then you look for mercy to help you to now practice that word to produce obedience. So it's judgment, it's mercy, and then you can now walk in faith, true faith, not feigned faith, the real faith. Amen. It's very important. So we must keep checking our actions. Check your actions, check your motives, check your timing in the light of the word. Always check. That's self-judgment. No, when you are reading your Bible, let your Bible read you. You know, as you read your Bible, you know, pastor was one that said, it's not actually original to me. No, let your Bible, as you are reading your Bible, let your Bible read you. Okay, this one, are you doing it? Ah, I'm not doing it. Oh, Lord, I repent. Help me. You know, sometimes, Lord, get me out of here. Like, pastor, it's a beautiful prayer. Ah, you know, sometimes you get into a rut where you keep disobeying. And it's a cycle of disobedience. Lord, get me out of it. That's mercy. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Matthew 13:9. Okay, so it's important. God wants to have mercy on us. And that mercy is taking us somewhere. But you need to get to that place with other people holding your hand. So remember, judgment, mercy, and faith are the weightier matters of the law. Alright? And of course, there is more knowledge. But if you do this one, talking about seven pillars, start with this one. And just walk with God. Because you now need to now add praying in the spirit to this. Jude 20:21. This is blood, word, and the spirit. But you know, this self-judgment, you know, is key. Okay? And that allows the mercy to flow, and then you know faith works, and then you can now pray, and then you can now do the will of God. Let's read it together. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying where? In the Holy Ghost. So to release spiritual power. Next verse. Keep yourselves where? In obedience. Same thing as love of God. Keep yourself in obedience, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God said it to me this way. You look for mercy. You look at your heart and you look to the word of instruction. So it's looking. So you are watching. When you say, what are you watching? You are watching your heart. You are watching the instruction. You keep it in your mind. Because when you meditate on it and keep it in your mind, then that's how you are going to be able to do it. That what have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Amen. And then number three, you must be consistent. That's the last thing. You must be consistent. Set targets to your watch and praying, to your walking in the spirit. Set targets. Bible talks about once every 6 hours. Matthew 13:35. We know this. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Once every 6 hours. Let's look at Matthew 13:35. Because it's very important. That we just look at this. That it might be no Matthew, yes, sorry, Mark 13:35. Mark. Okay. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, say one, or at midnight, say two, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, four.
4 times a day. So you start with once every 6 hours. When you make that one, then gone for once every hour. Don't say, it's possible, you can do it. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Look at Matthew 24:42. You can. You can. Say, I can. I can. Okay, Matthew 24:42. Yes. Thank you. Says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. As you increase in frequency, you are drawing closer and closer and closer to God. When the frequency is once every 6 hours, or you know, it is relative. You can do once every 6 hours and it's fine for you. I dare not to do once every 6 hours. Alright? Because everybody has their level. So it really depends on what level God is expecting of you. So if you do once every 6 hours, then aim for once every hour. So every hour, you know, Lord, I want to acknowledge you every hour. And God just remind you, just come to your heart. You know, sometimes you can pray, sometimes you cannot pray. But it's the acknowledging that you maintain that connection. So you come closer and closer and closer and closer into the presence of God. And in that presence, you begin to see clearly. You begin to see it's clearer to you. Then at every opportunity, you know, and in every temptation. At every opportunity, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. And then during temptation, Matthew 26:41. But the key here is, as you walk your way down each target, you begin to have more power, spiritual power, and more wisdom at our disposal. So that we are now able to walk in obedience more easily and more consistently, and then God can lift us up above challenges and situations. Look at Job 22 as we round up. This is what God is trying to do. Job 22, start from verse 21. Job 22, verse 21. And this is what he's talking about. It says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Talking about repentance and making peace with God. Receive, I pray thee, what? The law from his mouth, and lay up his words where? In thy heart. Amen. Next verse. And if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be what? Built up. And thou shalt put away iniquity far. Because life is now flowing in your tabernacles, in your soul, in your body. So iniquity is far, disobedience is far from you. Next verse. Then thou shalt lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. What he's saying here is that natural things and physical things will not be such a priority to you anymore. You put it, God becomes your priority. Next verse. Next verse. Yay! Everybody say yay! The Almighty shall be thy, not gold. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. It talks about redemption. Okay? So you begin to buy back and take ground in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions. Next verse. For then thou shalt have delight in the Almighty. See, your taste begins to change. Your appetite begins to change. Your desires begin to change. It changes from things to God. Amen? And thou shalt lift up thy face unto God. Next verse. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. God will hear your prayer, and you will obey. But the obedience is what makes God hear the prayer. Amen. Next verse. Thou shalt also decree a thing. Everybody wants to do this. Everybody wants to decree a thing. But there is a background of repentance, of submission, of keeping his word in your heart. All that. Before you now decree, it's over time. It's a relationship. Can't just get up one day and be decreed. You decree to the degree that you are obedient. That's the decree that to which the decree will be established. All right. So thou shalt, but it's your portion. You will do it in Jesus' name. But this is how it's done. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Look at the testimony mommy gave today. Put the phone and decree, and God will honor it. You can't get there. Amen. That's why God wants you to hear it, so that you can know it's available. It's power with God to prevail. And the light shall what? Shine upon that way. You will not stumble. You will not stumble in disobedience. You will walk in light. You will see clearly. Next verse. When men are cast down. Then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. What is making other people fall? You will walk upon it. You walk upon the water, as it were. You will, situation and circumstance that people will fall people down flat. They will only make you go higher, like being in the ark. It's not pie in the sky, it's available. That's what God is saying. And he shall what? Save the humble person. So you can see that that's where God is going. A humble and a contrite spirit, God will not despise. Next verse. Next verse. The last verse. They have refused to go to the next verse. Yes. He shall what? Deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. God will bring people, island, people under you, and you will give them covering and deliverance. This is the will of God. Amen. For us, God will help us to walk in it in Jesus' name. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Bow our heads. Talk to God. God wants to raise us up, lift us up. Obedience. Work on your heart. Make your heart obedient. You can do it by the word and by the spirit. Watch and pray. Travailing prayer to open up the heavens. Seven pillars. But the end of it is obedience. Moment by moment throughout the day. So seven pillars is in the background. You know, but for those who may not even come to this church, just begin here with the right attitude to spiritual authority and secular authority. The government, the home, the church. The same principle is obedience. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your thoughts. Be afflicted. Mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to heaviness. Change your appetites. Come from outside the presence of God and come into the presence of God. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. When you have the real joy, all that laughter over things that are unrighteous and all that rejoicing that is evil, you will put it away out of His presence. Stay in close contact with God so He can lift you up. Don't hold anything back. Give it your all. Everything, Lord, You are everything. To me,
everything.
Sing it as a prayer. Sing it to the Lord.
Everything.
Lord, You are everything to me.
My treasure.
You're my priority.
Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I confess my sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that you want me to learn humility, because the humble you are set to lift up. Heavenly Father, I present my heart unto you. I draw nigh to you, so that as I draw closer to you by judgment, by mercy, and by faith, you will change my heart, you will change my appetites, you will change my desires. Lord, you will change it so it will become your own appetites, your own desire, that I will hunger and I will thirst for you above all things. Help me, Father. That you will help, that I walk in greater submission, humility, and obedience. So my obedience will cause me to experience a lifting up over circumstances and over situations. Father, I receive mercy to be faithful. I receive grace to be diligent, that in this time of the former and the latter rain, I will hasten obedience in my life and in my conduct, so that I will inherit the Spirit without measure under the covering of our spiritual fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Raka songa, shekado katante koa papaya, rapakaka sanga de beberia, rapakange shekania, rande bere, yewos, rapakan toas, o maria, rasao, pare, pe toan tanga, eindobaso, engalamabia, ange de beberia bara, ringano batata, peke de beberikaka, jaka, peke de beberi, rapania, ranavia, ranavia, renamatoa, rakivia, Renoa, Rane, Rana, Renai, Jerua Be, Bao, Rane, Yalobat, Nanto, Daya, Rena Nevesa, Rapakaka, Jekenevea, Ramalie, Mirabao, Baromaya, Rasa Sakaliba, Mekarabata, Ramba Bebea, Rapa Papaka, Rene Nevesa, Jeffrey Kekuma, Rande Bebedico Kudebabo Serenaba. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now praying for our healing. Let's put our hands on our any part of your body and raise up the other hand to God. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that tells me that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, his resurrection, life, and power, I have been healed. Thank you for your word that shows me that the devourer is rebuked for my sake. So Satan will not be able to steal, to kill, or to destroy, especially concerning my health. I thank you for your word that shows me that the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Holy Ghost, is in me, and he gives life to every part of my mortal body. So, Father, according to your word, I believe and I declare, therefore, that life, Zoe, flushes out sickness, disease, and infirmity from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, flushing out every sickness, every disease, causing all of my cells, every cell, and the DNA in every cell to function optimally, my immune system to function optimally, as I pray under the covering of my spiritual fathers. Therefore, I say, I am healed. I live in divine healing and divine health by divine life. So I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of exercise, and of rest. And I maintain healing and health in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rabakaka, Jekene Beberi Yamale, Belalabasan, Rabakande, Razo, Ranea, Rabakai, Jenamul, Ranea, Merol, Rane, Yinaboa, Ranea, Renelevea, Jeneleve, Sanson, Bande, Papa, Rabakata, Rabakangekaya, Rabakatan, Reneleve, Sotom, Mariaba, Trenelan, Krenelevea, Rambe, Bale, Serala. Amante, jale leveta, raga kaka koko, kaka keke kegelea, rene levedio, rene levesan, rene levedio, rene levedi kanka, rapapa, beida, beida, rende ve sano, rende ve di kande, vasato, rende ve tuman, bene leveta, rene lamata ta sheke, rende ve le levea, rende ve le lea, sheka vasato, ranol, 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 Melea, Rale, Shekalebea, Relebesa, Sangalebea, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's join our hands together. We say, the Lord bless and keep you. Under the covering of our spiritual fathers, we come to declare and prophesy, the Lord bless and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you. Lord, lift up the light of his countenance upon you. And may the Lord your God give you peace. Lord, grant you to be head and not tail. Enable you to be above only and not beneath. Cause you to possess the gates of your enemies, including the gates of death. So we declare you will live and not die. You will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. You will declare the glory of God in every area of your life in the name of Jesus. Your horn is exalted, like the horn of the unicorn, in the name of Jesus. We put the name of the Lord upon you, even divine love. And so the blessings of Joseph rest upon your head, in Jesus' name, amen. And so the Lord puts upon us the mantles of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul and John, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, you are written an epistle known and read of all men. You are written an epistle known and read of all men. In Jesus' name, amen.